Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full, unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is faster, smarter, and better email marketing automation. DotMailer is trusted by thousands of leading brands around the world. You can start your free trial today at dotmailer.com/futurecommerce and be sure to use the offer code futurecommerce for 20% off applicable DotMailer packages. Future Commerce is brought to you by Link. Link makes your customers' post-purchase experience something they love through breakthrough innovation in artificial intelligence. Be sure to stick around to the middle of the show for a special offer. You can visit Link online today at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
Today, we have the Robert Scoble with us. Robert, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm a futurist, I guess is what you would call me, a tech journalist. And I go around the world and talk to people who are building the future. I've been very blessed to be able to do that for, a few decades now. I had the first ride in the first Tesla. Siri was launched in my son's bedroom, and many, many companies have been early or first to see and to show my readers on Facebook and Twitter and all that.
And if his name sounds familiar, you've probably heard Robert on many places like Twit, Tech TV, and from many other sources.
His own blog,
Scobalizer. You can't miss that one. So it's a pleasure to have Robert on. And we want you to leave your voice with us about today's podcast. So make sure that you do that. And you can do that best on futurecommerce.fm and hit up the discuss comment box for the episode on that site. You can also subscribe to listen to Future Commerce on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, rest in peace. And Google Play, where you can listen from any Amazon Echo device on TuneIn Radio with the phrase Alexa, play Future Commerce Podcast. All right. So Robert, you, there's a million things that we could talk about with you. I don't even know where to begin. But for those who are not familiar, could you give us like the 2-minute backstory and tell us a little bit about, how you came to be a futurist?
Part of it is luck. My dad was an engineer and got hired out of his out of college at Ampex in Silicon Valley, and he moved us to Cupertino in 1971 before Apple Computer started up in Cupertino. And so when I got to junior high, I was at high junior high, and we got our first Apple IIs then. So I was in the first computer club there. Nice. And my dad bought one. So that's part of it. And then part of it is just falling in love with new things and working on journalism for 3 or 4 decades now and getting around and seeing some really cool things. But a lot of it is lack of being here. If I wasn't in Silicon Valley, I bet I would be doing something else. You never know, but because there's other tech journalists from around the world, but it sure is a gift to be here.
Nice. Yeah, and you've been able to focus really heavily on augmented reality and virtual reality tech, and do quite a bit of your journalism around those particular pieces of tech and mixed reality, I guess, too. Could you maybe give our listeners a quick rundown of the history, of the evolution of augmented reality? Augmented reality, virtual reality tech.
I just met the grandfather of augmented reality, and he I guess he first did his first augmented reality in 1965. So I'm not going back all the way to
maybe first just government. Like pre Google Glass or something like that.
The first one that I remember that made an impression on me, I went to Matteo in Germany in 2011, and the CTO there was showing me monsters on the sides of skyscrapers, and Apple then bought that company a few years later, and Matteo's tech is the core of what's coming in the next iOS 11. So it goes all the way back to, like, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s, when this stuff was, you know, just coming out of R&D labs and starting to get interesting. But you can see how long it takes for technology like that to show up in consumer products.
It's funny because you say 7 years ago, like it was really, really long time ago. And in the tech world, it is, but really, it's like 7 years ago.
It's like a long time now, but it's not that long. And a lot is happening. It, you know, at CES 4 years ago, I got it. I interviewed the founder of PrimeSense, which made 3D sensors. And he showed me a sensor that from 3 feet away could tell how hard I was pressing on a table. And he showed me a bunch of other demos, and then Apple bought his company. So I started seeing this pattern, like, hey, wait a second, Apple's buying all these cool companies, you know, doing all this weird stuff. And what are they doing? You know, why do they need a 3D sensor and an AR company and an AI company and a face detection company? I mean, they bought a whole bunch of companies. So something's
coming together.
and that's part of it, is understanding how companies think. So I worked at Microsoft for 3 years, and so I understand how big companies sort of react to markets and how they think things through and how committees work and putting it together. Oh, wait a second. These guys are about to bring a big iPhone, because patents start showing up and rumors started showing up, and my friends started talking about it. Right. My best friend was one of the 12 guys who built the first iPhone. So we talk about it all the time. Like, what's this industry doing?
Where are we? That helps. Helps you being in the know, for sure.
Like I said, it helps to be in Silicon Valley. You know, it's, you know, I'm walking distance down to SpaceX and Tesla's best investor, and two doors down is an executive assistant from Facebook. I mean, it's just crazy. Your GoPro was started on one side of my house. It's nerd heaven here, is the way I put it.
Man, not only is Apple investing, but you see a lot of other major tech players investing as well. You've got Google that's heavily invested in Magic Leap, and you've got Facebook.
They're building. Yeah. I think Google is probably the most aggressive mover, because they've invested in VR. They have Google Tilt Brush and Google Map, Google Earth, and they just announced this thing called Google Blocks on Oculus Rift and HTC Vive just last week, right? So they're making aggressive moves, and they're going to use the AI that they developed for the self-driving car to be the basis of their mixed reality glasses when they come along. So it's the next few years, you're going to see some crazy things.
Yeah, I believe that. Although I've been waiting for some crazy things for a while, like especially with Magic Leap.
The latest rumor from inside the company is that they're going to come out with a developer preview probably by the end of the year, closer to the end of the year, so December.
So for those who are not initiated, could someone explain what Magic Leap is?
There's AR, augmented reality, which means you're seeing through the optic or through the phone to the real world, right? And you got a little taste of that with Pokemon Go. Right, when you looked at the phone, you would see the virtual Pokemon on top of the real world. These things are augmented reality glasses that they're developing. I call them mixed reality glasses, but Magic Leap calls them spatial computing glasses. And they let you see next generation augmented reality. Augmented reality that actually stuck to the tables that you're looking at, or properly occluded. So when a virtual actor or a cartoon character runs around a table, it looks proper. And someday it'll also be joined with AI, which then will learn everything about your what you're looking at. So in front of me right now is a couch and a coffee table and a regular table and an executive table, right? If it knew those things, then it could put virtual things on top of those things much more accurately than, let's say, the HoloLens, Microsoft HoloLens does today. So I just brought up HoloLens. HoloLens is the first example of one of these mixed reality glasses that really does this kind of room tracking. We call it SLAM-based tracking, or for simultaneous location and mapping. This is a technique that was developed for the Mars rover so that the rover could navigate around the surface of Mars without human interruption. Because if we see it going toward a cliff and we tell it stop, it takes 12 minutes for our stop sign to get up to Mars, and it's already over the cliff, right? So it has to see the cliff before it gets to the cliff, and it has to know what to do before it gets there. And by the way, this is how self-driving cars navigate through the world, and how robots do it, and how drones soon will do it if they're not doing it already. Well, the DJI Spark is using a Movidius chip to see the world and see objects and fly around trees or stop before they hit something, right? And they use similar techniques to SLAM. So if not SLAM, yeah.
Wow.
Go all night long and get really nerdy.
That's just a little bit.
We like the nerd. Bring on the nerd.
Yeah, please. Yeah, this is the audience.
Yeah, and we also now a lot of people have heard Magic Leap, and but there are some other companies out there that are piloting some of these glasses. There's Meta. I think you've documented Meta to some degree, and yep. I think Osterhout Design Group, and there are a few others out there that are really pushing forward on this front.
And it disappeared already, right? That we're trying to get into this game and gone. What would be an example of that? There was one that just went away a couple weeks ago. I forget the name now. Cast AR. There's companies that thought they had something going, gets funding, and then realizes, oh, we are not going to be able to compete with Apple and Microsoft and, Snap and Amazon and Google, not to mention all the Chinese companies. Because really, if I was at Apple right now, I wouldn't be worrying about anybody except for the Chinese. I would be wholly thinking about how is the Chinese going to use its supply chain against me and their internal market, because their internal market is much more VR heavy and much more interested in mobile than the American market is, even, right? When I go to China, they don't use business cards. They scan each other's WeChat. Sure. That does not happen here in America.
No, we still use business cards, which is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That is, old habits die hard,
True.
Yeah, no. I can tell how unbelievably excited you are, Brian. You touched on something there, Robert, that I think is really important, especially for our audience, because we sort of centered a lot of our future discussions around retail and its impact on retail and how technology is impacting commerce. And I think that at the end of the day, what we always try to drive back to is where does a potential commerce component come into these things? And I think you touched on a couple there. The commercial opportunities in China are immense, especially being a digital native society and this incredible growth that's happening in China and millennials and adopting and the adoption rate being just incredible of technology. So my guess based on what you said is that a lot of the technology breakthrough that we're going to see and the mass market adoption not happening in North America. It's happening in China.
A lot of it will come here pretty quickly. But I'm watching companies, right? Big companies battle it out. And China has some advantages that they haven't had before. They have a huge internal market now. I think 721 million internet users in China. America only has 380 million citizens.
Yep.
So their market is way bigger than we, than our market is, just in terms of sheer size. And then you look at the supply chain and their ability to drive price into the ground. And a good example is this. In front of me, I have an Insta 360 degree camera. When I was the first person to use a camera like that at Coachella, my camera cost about $6,000, and this camera now costs $200. So they can apply, and this is a new company out of China, they can build things faster and cheaper than we can, or than anybody can, right?
Is that a live stream 360?
Yeah, Facebook just turned that on for two months ago. And $200. You slide it on your iPhone or your Android phone. They have another one called the Insta 360 Air. These are small little cameras. And you put them on the end of your phone, and now you're shooting in 360 degree. It's pretty cool. You nailed it. YouTube and Facebook and Periscope all support 360 video, and there's others, but those are the ones that matter.
Yeah, we actually got to do a little podcasting live in 360 video just a couple months ago, and did that through YouTube. It was a pretty interesting experience. It was very cool.
It was anything but easy, though.
It's getting there. It's still a little early adopter, and the ones with Facebook, the resolution just isn't there. And unfortunately, because you're using a camera company's app, you don't see a lot of the things that you would see on the normal Facebook app. So in reality, it's really tough to do for me as an influencer. It would be great for a kid's birthday party or something like that, but my expectations are higher when I'm doing these things.
Right. Yep. Right. Yeah. And kind of to get back on the train that Philip was on there, I think we're all kind of looking forward to what we have ahead with glasses and what we'll be able to do from a commerce perspective there. In the meantime, we sort of have AR lights, and even that is still fairly it's not very well adopted here in the US. Like Snapchat is obviously doing some basic stuff. And obviously their spectacles are kind of groundbreaking, but they're still fairly rudimentary. You kind of have to have the right phone to even really utilize a lot of the sort of AR, Google Tango type technologies on your phone.
That'll be really interesting to see when Apple comes out with the next iPhone. They have three different models, but the high-end one has two 3D sensors, one front-facing, one back-facing. And it'll be real interesting to see the kinds of things that Apple enables with that phone and how fast developers start to really use those sensors to do interesting things. Because it is a small percentage of the market, even on iPhone. Modern iPhones, there's going to be – somebody figured out there's going to be about 200 million people running iOS 11 before the phone comes out in phones that can run the AR kit or the platform that does augmented reality. And that requires a fairly modern phone, a 6S or a 6S Plus or a 7 Plus or 7, right? And I don't think it goes back to 5. Right. I might be wrong by that. I have to look that up. But anyways, it's 200 million phones, which sounds like a big number. And it is when you compare it to VR, because VR, like I'm looking at an Oculus Rift right now, that's sold less than a million units, according to the latest number. So 200 million units is more interesting, but it's still only a portion of the entire phone market. So this is a multi-year process. See, even if it's hot next year and all the influencers are talking about it, it'll be a while before it really gets broad-based support from Android and everybody else.
What I'm really, kind of coming back to is like, this is all well and good. I feel like I'm still waiting for Apple to open source Bonjour, like they said they would. It's like what they can go ahead and march forward and do all this really cool stuff. You know, some of the groundbreaking stuff that happened last year is still not being picked up and run with by developers. So it's going to hinge entirely on the developer community. I mean, never mind what the NPD group says about, you know, Google or Oculus, you know, sales. I think having the capabilities, one thing, you know, how many iMessage API based conversational commerce, you know, apps are there that exist? Well, that capability has been built into iMessage now for over a year. Nobody's picking it up and running with it. And that's frustrating someone who sees such potential in the market, like myself. I see so much potential in the market for really transformative commerce experiences that are happening on these devices. But the developers have to pick it up and run with it and create engaging reasons for
adoption. I think this is going to be different for a few reasons. One, it's very visual. And if you've been watching any of my Twitter or Facebook, you've seen lots of examples of AR kit apps that have come out in the first couple of weeks. Because keep in mind, this technology has only been on the market for 2 or 3 weeks since Apple at its WWDC developer conference. And already you're seeing some really interesting apps. One guy built a measuring tape app. So you hold up a virtual measuring tape up on your wall, and it tells you how wide that wall is. Another guy made it so that you could aim your phone at your Tesla and see different kinds of colors, which the auto industry will really appreciate. You know, come into the virtual showroom. Oh, you want pink? Yeah, here's what it looks like. You can order if you want. there's others. You know, there was one app that's teaching somebody to dance with footsteps on the floor in front of you, stuff like that. There's some really interesting playing around, but there's nothing that's come up to the level of, oh my God, killer app. But all of these require you to hold your phone in front of you in a new way that most people don't do today unless they're playing Pokemon. And even if they're playing Pokemon, they're not doing it for very long. These things are going to get you to really hold your phone up a lot to do different kinds of things. And shopping is a good example. If you walk into the shopping mall and say, hey, Siri, tell me where the blue jeans are in this mall. Why doesn't it put a blue line on the floor taking you to the blue jeans, right? And that's coming. Yep. Westfield Labs is working on that. They're the labs for many of the shopping malls in the world. And they know it's coming, but we haven't yet seen it. But, you know, if somebody walked into a shopping mall holding their phone up like that, and not just looking at it the usual way, you'll notice that, and you'll notice something really cool on the screen, you know, like a green line taking people around or something, and you'll be much more likely to ask a question like, "What the hell are you doing? What is that? Oh, this is a new iPhone. Haven't you seen the new augmented reality capability? You know, or whatever you're going to say to your friend. Have you seen new AR stuff yet on this new phone? It's cool.
Sure.
Yeah, and that'll get people going. Plus, it makes really great looking Facebook and Twitter page posts. So, you know, that's why they're getting a lot of heat, because, you know, somebody showing you something cool in augmented reality makes for a good demo video. And that's not true of, you know, PayPal, for instance. You know, PayPal probably, if we could get the world to use PayPal, that'd be great. But it's not that interesting for most people. AR, I think, is going to be different, though. So
you brought up one example of a commerce experience where it's sort of directing you to products. How else do you see it being applied to commerce? Do you know, I mean, there's some pretty obvious ones to me, like additional product information or experiences or discounts or, you know, that all display on your phone as you kind of hold them up, which, you know, will allow for, you know, less packaging and
fewer. Yeah, but those are boring uses. The ones that get me excited are like Sephora. So, you know, in my intro, I didn't explain. I wrote 3 books with Shel Israel. Each book has predicted decade-long trends, and the latest one is the 4th transformation, which is all about this stuff, augmented reality and AI. And we visited Sephora's R&D lab in San Francisco, where they have a full-on store inside a warehouse so they can test out all sorts of concepts and different things. And they've put a lot of augmented reality into the current app on the current iPhone. You don't need to wait for this new stuff. And one of the things that they did is augmented reality lipsticks, so you could test out different kinds of makeup on your face, because it images your face and then wraps virtual makeup around you. And that makeup is color matched and matched to the physical product you would actually buy in the store. So if you try pink lipstick and you like it, you go buy pink lipstick and it looks exactly the same on your face in real life as it does in augmented life, which tells you something. And they're also working with the signage. So you're going to walk around with your phone in AR mode and look at signage, and it would see a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, you know, extra information about the products or a video showing how it would be applied or something like that, right? And that's a good, I think that's a good starting point for stores to start thinking about, okay, you know, next year you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be looking to augment their world by holding the phone up and trying this new AR thing in the store, and what can it add to the customer experience, and start getting people ready for this world where, you know, 4 years from now, me and you are all wearing glasses and we're walking in stores with glasses on, and the glasses will react to the store and show us all sorts of stuff. That's a little bit further away, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, but we know it's coming. We're seeing it coming out of R&D labs and getting ready to be shipped. So, yeah, it's a fun time. I see lots of examples like that. You know, once we get the full on, you know, if you think about a decade from now, when you get full on glasses that you can talk to, that you can use eye sensors with, we haven't even talked about eye sensors, but Apple, Google, Facebook have all bought eye sensor companies. So that tells you those are coming. And, you know, if we're walking around with a pair of glasses that we're controlling with our voice and our eyes, and we can look at something and menus pop off that physical thing, then we're talking, you know, then we're going to see real explosion in what it means to be a retail store and what it means to build a fake, a virtual store in your living room, right? Because... Yes. I just bought a $2,200 right. PC on Amazon, and the pictures are shitty. I'm sorry. And you know, it just doesn't give you that much information. Fine. I'd love a video demo of that PC, so it's from a real user, so I know it's, you know, it's just as badass as all the specs make it look like it's badass, right?
Yeah, no, in-home shopping is definitely going to happen as a result. What about? So we talked a lot about augmented reality.
If you can build some of this stuff, Walmart's hiring, Amazon's hiring, Microsoft's hiring, Google's hiring, Facebook's hiring, Autodesk is hiring. We should talk about Autodesk and on and on. So, you know, if you have computer science skills, you're fully employed if you want to be in this industry.
Yeah, for sure. But you mentioned, you know, stores, you know, shopping, virtual shopping within your home, and I'm sort of on record as being skeptical of what that looks like. You know, if you follow the trend,
you didn't get your Amazon Wand,
you know, skeuomorphic. No, I don't have an Amazon Wand, though.
And it's Prime Day.
We did discuss that there is. I know it is. We are discussing this on Prime Day, you know, and this is what's really great about Prime Day is you know never discount a technology adoption driven entirely by manufactured holidays that have, you know, built-in incentivized
deals. It got me to buy, so.
If I seem distracted, it's because I'm shopping at the same time. Yeah,
what page are you on? I want to hear what the goals are. Come on.
But Robert, I have to ask you, you know, what would you say to the people that think that there's a use case for shopping virtual aisles that are modeled after the real world, as opposed to a, you know, some future paradigm in virtual reality space that could only ever exist in that space as being, you know, the right and appropriate setting for commerce.
We used to call that skeuomorphic design because it was design that looks like the real world, right? If you see a game, it has green felt because that's how card games are played, right? And in virtual world, why do you need green felt? Why don't you make it purple, you know? And same thing's going to be true in a store. Why do you need aisles if you're the only one walking down it? And why do you want to even try to bring that into the home? But I can certainly see, and I don't know if I want to set off everybody's Siri or Amazon Echo.
Do it.
But, you know, I mean, we're already buying things. I go, hey Alexa, I need some toilet paper, it answers me back, right? And says, hey, would you like the Charm and 20 ply you bought last time, right? And with this new wand that I'm talking about, it's a $20 little gadget. If you have Amazon Prime, you get it for free, basically. And it lets you scan barcodes and it lets you talk to it because it has Alexa inside of it. So you can do the same thing. Can I buy some toilet paper? And I need some milk, too. And I need some Cheerios for the kids. And, you know, and so now you're buying and transacting without having a physical store at all. The physical store is the wand in your hand, if there is a physical thing, or the Alexa that's in your kitchen, right? Even though you get mixed reality glasses into that mix, why do you need something that looks like a store? Thinking you're going to just talk to it and say, hey, can you show me the blue jeans that are available? And boom, 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 there's five pairs of blue jeans for my size with my body wrapped around my body. Because keep in mind, we're going to have 3D sensors soon that are going to do amazing things. Mm-hmm. I've already been imaged in a 3D sensor so I could be 3D printed and stuff like that. But that's going to happen with your iPhone soon, right? You're just going to walk around and yourself with an iPhone and scan yourself and put yourself into Amazon or Walmart or wherever, and they're going to show you clothes, you know, virtual clothes that are on you, standing in the living room in front of you, right? And
yeah, we had Body Labs on.
What's that?
Do you know Body Labs? We had Body Labs on. They're doing some pretty cool stuff with that 2D to 3D rendering. So you don't even have to get a full body scan now. You can get a 2D, like full body shot, 2D picture, and they can actually extrapolate like what your body looks like from that 2D picture. It's pretty unbelievable. And they're using an AI to do that, an AI technology to sort of fill in the blanks, if you will. It's amazing. Interesting thing about augmented reality is it's kind of a personal experience, and you can kind of set, you know, different things to see different things. And, you know, each person may or may not be seeing the same thing. But we also are looking at a lot of hologram technology coming up. And how do you see sort of the interaction between AR and holograms? And, you know, holograms are sort of, like I mentioned, a shared experience without any tech necessary. Do you think
that's not necessarily true. A hologram is a 3D object, right?
Right.
At least in the context of augmented reality. So, for instance, in my Microsoft HoloLens, I could select a shark, and I could put a virtual shark right here in my living room. Right?
Sure. No, I'm talking about like technology that's not AR, like a hologram that's standalone. Like, did you see the Cortana hologram that was demoed at the latest Build conference?
That was demoed with a HoloLens, wasn't it? When you say hologram, there's the marketing term that Microsoft uses to define 3D objects that are in my HoloLens. That's a hologram. And when you talk to somebody in the AR industry who's been doing holography for a while, if you've seen a hologram, a real old school hologram on a photographic plate, that's a hologram, right? And it shows you depth with one shot. It doesn't need a lot of data. It's a little different, but very similar. I'm starting to see monitors that are coming along that use the old style holographic technique of showing you a 3D object on a standard 2D monitor. And that is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll get to the place where I can't say, because those monitors might be put in front of your eyes and all of a sudden you're getting really amazing 3D imagery with you know, monitors that look like they're 2D monitors. We haven't yet seen those demonstrated in a real way yet. The guys who build the Red Camera Company just announced a holographic phone, but I don't know that that's truly holographic. They didn't demo the screen. They just said it's a holographic screen. So we have to see a demo of that and understand the technology before we can call it real old school holographic.
For sure.
Technique, right? But anybody who's seen one of those holograms in a museum or something like that, that's done on a photo plate, that's done with lasers on a piece of photographic film. And they're beautiful, right? You can walk all the way around and get a look at that 3D thing or that image from all the different points of view that you can. And yeah, anyways, now that I understand what you were asking, I didn't see that one demo. I thought I did, but I thought it was on a HoloLens, and so it's a mixing of these terms a little bit.
For sure.
Which Microsoft is doing, you know.
Sure.
They call their virtual reality headsets mixed reality because they're using the same sensor technology that's in the HoloLens to make the inside-out tracking work. And to me, that's blurring the lines of the terms beyond what they really should be.
Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is used by thousands of marketers around the world. It has quick and easy campaign creation with a world-class intuitive interface. The DotMailer team is always on hand, from email creation, creative, and delivery to dedicated consultancy helping you build your own success story. DotMailer is built to play well with others. You can build your own marketing cloud by extending DotMailer or integrating it with your existing e-commerce and business platforms. Become a smarter, faster, better marketer and create sophisticated and measurable campaigns with DotMailer. Go to dotmailer.com/futurecommerce to start your free trial today, and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off DotMailer packages. Thanks again to DotMailer for supporting Future Commerce. Link is the best way to get your customers coming back to buy again. Link's Cortex AI platform creates rich relationships with every customer at every touch point on every platform. From Magento to Shopify, Hybris and Demandware, over 300 logistic and reverse logistic carriers around the world are integrated with Link. Link brings your brand to where customers are on Facebook Messenger, Alexa, SMS, and more. Let Link add the power of artificial intelligence to your business. For a limited time, Future Commerce listeners can claim an exclusive trial offer for 30 days free of Link Cortex. Sign up today and visit them online at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast.
Yeah, new technology always has a little bit of this problem. Even new techniques in commerce sometimes have that problem. Like personal,
it's really hard because Milgren, an academic, actually defined all these terms for the industry, and we've been fairly well understood. But when Microsoft did that, they broke the academic term, and I wish they hadn't, because it makes it a lot harder. It makes it a lot harder to do stuff like what we're doing right now, trying to tell people what this stuff is, you know? It's hard enough, because how do I explain a virtual shark on my living room floor that you can walk around? You know, it's bad enough when you have to sort of explain it in a way that people understand it. And then when we add this terminology and all that, people get really confused pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can't help but think, and I'm going to go out of the commerce realm here for a minute, but I can't help but feel that a lot of the experiences we're gonna take on, and I don't know if they'll all be in our home or if they'll be elsewhere, because they will require a fairly hefty investment to actually bring into your home. But maybe experience centers with VR where you actually like live a full story, and there will be like a full on haptic experience that, you know, includes maybe even like mood enhancing drugs and different things that affect your emotions and, you know, different ways to experience, like, and this is strictly entertainment, but
let's stop and talk about drugs for a second. It's a topic I like talking about. Pfizer's head of innovation, Pfizer, the drug company, says augmented reality is a drug. They're doing studies on Alzheimer's, ADHD, depression, pain, and autism, and other things. And they're finding early promising results in all of those. There's a University of Washington study done with burn victims about pain, and they found that VR is more effective at that kind of pain than morphine is. So VR and AR is a drug. You don't need drugs to experience drugs. And in fact, I visited an eye doctor down in South Africa, Cheryl Lee Calder. She runs iGym.com. She works with professional athletes, and she fixes their perception system. She's brain hacking, and she shows you a pattern on a screen, and it fixes your eyes. In other words, light is a drug. It's something that changes your brain. So we haven't even started really understanding how all that works and where the end of it is, right? We've only started doing a lot of this kind of work lately. And so, yeah, I'm quite convinced this is the beginning of a new field called brain hacking. The glasses are going to help you experience life in a new way. And where are we going to go from there?
Yeah, I mean,
MindMaze is one of the companies in our book, and they do a whole bunch of brain sensors around the VR headset, so it can start to integrate with your brain. So now, you know, you're already seeing people talking about building new kinds of interfaces where you think something and a menu pops up, or you think something and a blog post appears, right? That's freaky. It's freaky for me to think about it, but I've seen early attempts at getting there, and I'm pretty convinced that it's not too far off. You know, is it 10 years off? Probably less.
Well, in the meantime, we've got, EarPods, which was actually a pretty big a step forward, I feel like, towards having AI in our ears at all times. You know, and getting people used to the idea of interacting with an AI, out and like they would a person on a phone, if you will. And so I think, you know, with AR, you've already said it, we're going to be using our voice to do most of our controlling interaction, and voice first interaction is going to become a much more pervasive way of interacting with technology. Philip, you've been quiet for a while. Do you have some thoughts you want to interject here?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is all well and good, but you know, the cynic in me, you know, sort of makes me wonder. You know, we're on this wonderful streak of progress. We've had, you know, pretty much almost 10 years of uninterrupted economic growth, and I just have to wonder. You know, one day the Fannies and Freddies and the Lehman Brothers happen in the AR and VR space, and a lot of things just come crashing down. You know, what are the kinds of things that you can, you know, maybe you could prognosticate a bit, Robert, about, you know, what are some of the pitfalls that might be out there that might interrupt the kind of mass market adoption or the rapid accelerated pace that we're on right now?
That change the question rapid at a pace. The early adopters are going to use this and use it in a big way. I'm wearing a pair of glasses probably in the next 12 months, and I'm going to wear them all the time like I wore Google Glass. what is going to keep it from going mainstream quickly is resistance to glasses. A good number of people, when I talk to them, say, I'm sorry, I don't care how the cool they are, I'm never going to wear glasses. And I'm like, well, you're going to be at a huge disadvantage eventually to everybody else, and you're going to be convinced to wear them, but let's go with that. I've heard this before, by the way, in many other contexts. Oh, I'll never use email. I remember
if anyone's heard this
people
before.
People can't
too.
Remember the time before yeah. email, but I remember when I brought email to the office and said, "Hey, we're going to switch to using email," and they're all like, "What's email?" Oh, you send memos electronically to people. Ah, why do we want to do that? The paper ones are working just fine, right? And of course, everybody in the world uses email today. Kids at college said, oh, nobody needs a Macintosh. That's a computer with training wheels on it. Now they all use Macintoshes, right? Or Windows machines that do the same thing. on and on. I'll never do Facebook. That's stupid. That's for social media douchebags. Why do I need, whatever it is, right? And I know that people change behavior. Hell, the CEO of Ford said, nobody's ever going to buy a self-driving car. And I said, you're stupid. You know, first of all, why would you ever make a statement right. like that?
Right.
Because you know how stupid that statement might look right. if the world changes. The world changes, right? At Microsoft, if you go to their history museum, they have a wall of quotes, things like the patent office believes there's never going to be an interesting patent, and stuff like that, right? Even Bill Gates getting quoted, the world doesn't need more than 640K of RAM. Yes. Now, he claims he never said that, but it sounds like something that he might have said. sort of, why do you need, so much RAM? Sort of joking, maybe even. I visited a startup in Israel. They have Orville Wright's quote on the wall and says, nobody will ever fly from, I think it was from Dallas to Paris. And of course, that happens like twice a day, So.
Flight is a great example.
It's really hard for people to think about how the world is going to change and then how behavior is going to change when it does change. So when you say, I'm never, ever going to wear a pair of glasses, well, don't you want as many monitors around you as you want? Yeah, maybe. Don't you want to be able to look at, a NASCAR race and see where Danica Patrick is on the track and see all the cameras and see the temperature tire of her tires and see, everything about her car? That sounds sort of cool. Don't you want to see an IMAX movie wrapped around all the way around you? Right? Why do you want to? You paid $20 to go see an IMAX movie. Why? Because it's high res and it's wrapped around you. Well, what if you could do that in your living room? And then they start going, oh, maybe. I don't know. But I still don't want to wear glasses. And the same thing if you talk to, 1,000 people about self-driving cars. I'm a control freak. I like to drive. What are you talking about? I'm never going to let a car drive. And I go, really? You're not going to switch to it the day right. it saves your life?
It's the famous Henry Ford quote of, if you had asked somebody what they wanted, they'd tell you, they want a faster horse or something. It's like, we can't even divine, the consumer can't divine what it is that they need or want because they can only think about it in the context of what they yeah. already know. And this breaks that context. It is not just a paradigm shift. It's massive disruption of life as we know it. And I do believe that we are on the verge of technology in the first wave of technology in our lifetimes that actually will change human evolution. And I really believe that. Now, whether that happens, for good or for bad, I think it's happening and we're on a course to make it happen. I think the question to kind of bring it back to the original question, which is what do you see out there that could disrupt the adoption of this technology? Or is it just inevitable? Is it just going to happen?
There's lots of problems. I mean, I've nailed them out, right? It's too nerdy. It's too expensive. It's too heavy. There's not enough content, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
We know the problems, and each one of those problems is being worked on. So if you don't like today's products, stay alive for 5 years, because they're going to be a whole lot different in 5 years. You know? And that's what people can't really adjust to that, right? I got kicked out of Kodak's booth in 1989 because Steve Wozniak showed me his dye sublimation color printer with Photoshop 1.0 and a 400 megabyte hard drive, RAM disk, all of which costs, I think, about, $100,000. His printer alone was $45,000. And today a $70 printer does better, right? So if you can't afford a rich person's toys, just stay alive. You know, exercise a little bit, right, and stay alive. Because 20, 30 years down the road, it's going to be cheap. And then there'll be something else that's expensive that everybody wants to do, right?
Speaking of exercise, augmented reality is going to help with that, I think.
It already is. My friend and I are using VR, and we're losing weight. And not because we're trying, we're just using VR a lot. And when you're in VR, you're moving around, you're getting sweaty, you're shooting things, you're running at things, you're swinging at things. I play selfie tennis with myself, so I'm playing tennis with myself, all of which is exercise. It just is fun. You know, we don't call it exercise.
Yeah, exactly. People that don't like exercise are going to probably really enjoy exercise.
But don't tell them it's exercise. Just exactly. Say, hey, this is really
have fun.
Tell them it's a drug. They'll go for it. Here's some more drugs, man. Electronic drugs.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, we didn't talk about some of the downsides. Addiction, I think, is going to be one of the problems in here. You're going to see people who don't want to come out, particularly when we get really good AR or mixed reality, whatever you call it. The world is going to be nicer at some level. At least it'll be cool looking. And it'll have lots of stuff to do on the world, right? There's a Pokemon over there. I got to go over there, collect some Pokemon points.
We've talked about some other, you know, transformative places. We talked about how, you know, this is going to change, like, how we culturally view technology and how appropriate it is to spend, like, how long you might spend it. We talked to Sacco Panathiratne about that a few episodes back. And it's also going to change, you know, how we think about, you know, housing and communities and, you know, how we organize ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot ahead around. And actually, I think there's a good example of this that's about to take flight. Facebook is going to be developing, it's basically an entire village just outside their office. I'm sure you're probably aware of that. And I can't help but think that they're going to build in opportunities to include augmented reality and other tech that they're working on as a part of that community and sort of use that as sort of a flagship for usage.
But they're not the only ones. The Warriors are building a new stadium, and we've talked with the head of innovation there about that. They're thinking about it. So, there's a lot that's going to come in the next few years along that route. Yeah. It's also, keep in mind, AR is just the user interface for everything, right? For your smart cities, for your Internet of Things, for your drones that are flying around, for your robots that are walking around or navigating your world, for your self-driving car, right? So in 10 years, your glasses are going to be how you control your world. How you get Uber to pick you up or Lyft or whoever you like to use, how to get Amazon to deliver groceries because they just bought Whole Foods, right? On and on. Mm-hmm. You're going to do it in the glasses because the glasses are going to have a 3D sensor that sees every barcode in front of you. Like I'm looking at a product with a barcode. If I was wearing glasses, it would see that barcode and it would say, do you want to buy more of this? You know, do you want information on this? do you want a video on how to put your Ring doorbell on the front door? We could show that to you, you know?
You know? So we, now, you know, retail, I don't even seen this, this kind of, it's been pretty pervasive in the news. So probably, but it, retail is in quote unquote crisis right now. There's a lot of disruption going on in retail, and a lot of retailers are going out of business, like major retailers that you wouldn't have expected.
I did because I worked in a retail store and we went out of business because Best Buy put us out of business. And now, Amazon is putting Best Buy out of business. So fair play, baby. You know, Walmart put all of us little people out of business, you know, in the United States. So fair play that Amazon's giving a little bit of a discomfort at the moment because you guys didn't work on innovating the way that they did, and you didn't see that the world was going to change, and you couldn't change. This is the innovator's dilemma, right?
How imperative do you see, you know, investment in augmented reality technologies? Should people be building their own experiences, or should they, you know, be ready and be to build into future platforms?
Let's say in December, Marriott announces a new augmented hotel. Bring your new iPhone to the hotel and everything is augmented. If you're Hilton, what does that mean? Oh, you're dead because already Marriott built a brand that they're the ones who are innovative and cool, and they're the ones who are going to get the new customer. You're dead. By the time you figure out that you missed the boat, you're dead, because if you have to start hiring programmers in December to compete with a competitor that's already 18 months ahead of you, you're dead. You're not coming back.
Right.
So either you innovate or you die in this new world. And if you're going to innovate and you're really going to innovate, like bet the company kind of innovation, you're doing that internally. You're not doing that with just contractors or consultants.
Ooh, that's a pretty bold statement. So you're saying that you know, that retailers should be developing in-house teams that have a discipline that are part of the business versus pulling in
I would. Walmart's hiring. I guarantee you that. I know people. I know the AR team at Walmart. They're hiring. They know they're in trouble, and they're betting big on this stuff to try to figure out how to keep Amazon from taking over their entire world, because they're going to if they don't do something about it.
And what about sort of mid-tier retailers? Sure. Like, you know, I think
those are going away in a lot of ways.
I have no hope.
The clothes I wear from Scotty Vest, I just talked to Scott Jordan the other day, and all of his sales on Amazon are going straight up. Oh, yeah. His sales everywhere else are going straight down. So the writing is on the wall. Amazon's going to eat everything.
So go get acquired. That's what you're saying, Robert.
That's one exit possibility, is to get acquired. But soon you're not going to have any value to acquire.
It's an imperative now.
I've been there. I was killed by Best Buy. I know how this game goes. It doesn't go nicely for small people. Particularly ones that aren't innovative and don't stay relevant to their customers and don't try to build a better customer experience. You go away.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that you know, your words have more truth in them than I think a lot of retailers want to believe right now. In fact, we were just talking with another retail analyst recently who kind of alluded to the same thing, which is, you know, and I don't know if she would say it quite the extreme that you're saying it, but
I'm not in the industry, so I don't have to go to the cocktail parties with everyone. I'm sure I'm still going to take some heat over the same thing. But hey, I'd rather be truthful and say, hey, your industry has a real problem, and you're losing people, and you're going to lose more in the future if you don't figure out how to do something really innovative and really forward thinking, and bet the entire company on it. You're going away.
So Target, pay attention.
everybody, every manufacturer, every brand has to pay attention to this, because in 4 years, we're wearing glasses and we're going to look at products and we're going to see it happen on those products. And if the products don't make it happen, we're going to go, that's a lame product.
I mean, there's a show title right there for you. I'm just going to transcribe that verbatim. You know, one of the things that we like to do is bring, you know, bring some of the futuristic point of view. And we usually sort of close out the show with a what's your 5-year outlook. But I think that's like the entirety of the show has been really about that. So I would say I would almost kind of bring it back to right now. So if you had to give some, let's say you aren't a retail analyst and maybe that's a good thing. So if you had to speak directly to merchants today, you say innovate or die, tell us one way that they can be innovating. Is it just focusing on R&D around and building internal teams to enable the new AR,
you know, this year we're getting iPhones that do augmented reality and there's several things going on at one time. It's not just AR. If it was just AR, you might be able to just say, oh, that guy's an idiot. I'm not going to listen to him. But it's AI. It's self-driving cars. Right. It's a range of things that are just about to hit. And you're going to see more technology change in the next 5 years than you've seen probably in the last 40, right? So if I'm walking into think about how people buy stuff. Think about Google Assistant. Do you guys use Google Assistant yet?
All the time. Yeah.
Do you have a Pixel phone or do you use it on your iPhone?
Android.
Yeah. I'm doing it on Android. I don't have a Pixel, but we use it in Allo and we use it in other contexts as well for, Hangouts.
I had it on my Pixel that I played around with a little bit, but I really use an iPhone. So a month ago, this thing came out on iPhone called Google Assistant. And I'm going to ask it, where are the best nightclubs in San Francisco?
I found a few places.
And it lists Monarch, DNA Lounge, Art Asia SF, stuff like that. And it has reviews. So you can easily swipe over and see, the Cat Club has a lot of 4.5-star reviews.
Here it is. Cat Club.
All right. That's a bar. It's not appropriate. So let's say Monarch. Let's see what that does.
Monarch. Here you go.
Has a vintage look. Wow. The basement level serves as a dance club. That sounds good. 4.2 stars, 163 reviews. This is how we judge your business, right? Tomorrow, we're going to see how many people are actually dancing in that club. And we're going to see live video from that club. And we're going to see sensor readings that are being read from all the clubs because it knows how happy people are. Because I've seen computer vision technology that can tell whether you're happy, sad, how old you are. Are you male or female? Right. Just from a standard old shitty web camera. So, someday soon that's going to show up here. So you have to build a nightclub. If you want my business as a nightclub potential customer, you have to build infrastructure into your nightclub and experiences that get people to dance, get them happier, get the right gender makeup, get the right sexual orientation into your club that you want to serve and all that. That's what it is for every business. Cause that's how we're going to buy things in the future, right? So if you're not thinking about how you're going to build experiences that are going to get lots of people to give you good reviews and have a great time in your business or buying your products or wearing them or whatever, you're not relevant. And that's a real problem if you're not thinking like that, right?
Great place to end. Absolutely.
Yep. Wow. That just brought it home, especially for me. And I talk about this stuff every day. You have to put it in context sometimes of real world experiences of how consumers engage with you and your brands. And to think of it in that perspective, that's phenomenal.
The reason I brought Google Assistant up, it's the first time where voice recognition for me works 100% of the time, at least when I'm accurate. It caught a piece of my first word. That's why the first time didn't work.
I've had it pick up my words even when I stutter, and that is mind-blowing. Google Assistant's amazing.
Yeah, and why is it amazing? Because they have every Google search ever made, and they... built AI systems that look for those patterns in our speech. And it's really interesting to watch it because it'll flip a word once in a while. And when it does that, it's trying to fit your sentence into a pre-known pattern where it knows it has an answer, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's incredible.
So it is amazing. But that just got good enough this year. Okay, late last year for you Pixel people. But but on the iPhone, we just got it a month ago. And I've been using it. I've been forcing myself to use it to understand how good it is. And it's stunning at how good it is, right? So yeah. Now think about glasses. When we get glasses in 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, how much better is Google Assistant going to be than it is today? A huge amount.
You sold me on one word, Google. And I'll tell you why. If you're a retailer and you're listening to this and you've been sort of yawning or rolling your eyes, I want you to think back to a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when, you know, I was sitting across from you in a consulting role and I said, every site needs to be full site SSL. And you said, that costs too much money and I don't see the benefit and consumers don't understand it. We need a colorful badge that says the site is secure from VeriSign. And yep. You, every single one of you poo-pooed me on it. But the moment that Google made it a ranking, all of a sudden everybody cares about having full-site SSL. Nobody actually cares about the end result or the social good that's done by securing, you know, the site or any of that. Nobody actually really cares about security, let's be honest. But when it affects Google rankings and it drives traffic and it's the thing that's going to give you the edge over your competitor and it becomes a requirement for you to do business, absolutely you wind up implementing full site SSL. So and as Google goes, so does everybody else. And that's where we're going to be.
So here's a hint about Google. They bought a company called iFluence last year. And when Jim Margraff, the founder of iFluence, showed me it, he had me pull a bunch of stuff out of my pocket. And he said, just look at it with the glasses he gave me. And I pulled an iPhone 6S Plus out of my pocket, put it on the table, and I looked at it. And two menus popped off the side of the iPhone. One said, that's an iPhone 6S Plus. Would you like more information? And the other said, this is $699 on Amazon right now. Would you like to buy it? Only with using my eyes, not touching it. Not anything else. So it's using AI to know what most of the products are in the world, and you can look at them and a menu will pop off those products. So if you're not thinking about this stuff, this isn't R&D lab. It's coming in the next 36 months. Google is building a new kind of operating system that's going to do a lot of amazing things like that. And you're seeing signs of it this year, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't see the Word Lens app that they showed off at their developer conference where you just aim your phone at a storefront and it tells you about the store, you're not paying attention and you're not thinking through what that means.
Yeah, actually, Samsung hit that first with Bixby Vision, which is...
Yeah, there's been lots of examples of this, but... Like you said, when Google does it, everybody has to react, right? Yeah. And if you're behind because you haven't been investing in this stuff and you haven't, or even just been reading about it and thinking about it, you're behind and you're going to be slammed. Plus, hiring a Unity programmer today is pretty cheap. In 2 years, it ain't going to be cheap.
That's where it comes down to, I think, and it's a great place for us, I think, to wrap, which would be you are at a disadvantage as a retailer if you're not watching these things now and organizing your business to mobilize and be able to pull the trigger when it becomes no longer just, you know, an early adopter, but it's becoming, you know, part and parcel of doing business.
And we know the masses are coming. The mass change is coming. I can't promise it'll happen in 2019 or 2020 or 2021, but sometime between now and 2021, you're getting self-driving cars, full-on level five cars. You're getting mixed reality glasses. You're getting AI that's going to blow people's minds, right? I'm starting to see it in products. I saw a security camera the other day that you can ask the security camera, can you show me all pictures when my dog was on my couch? How does it know that? Because it uses AI to recognize your dog and it knows what your couch looks like because a couch is a couch and it can see your dog hopping on your couch. And now it can pull all the video snips from the past 2 days of when your dog was on the couch. right? And so now you can ask it all sorts of stuff. Like, can you show me when my kids get home? Can you notify me that they got home okay? So now you know your kids came home an hour late and were smoking weed behind the backstop with their friends, right? Then you can have a talk. Like, what? Where were you? You're supposed to be home at 3. You came home at 4, right? Or you can see all sorts of weird people coming into your house, right? And you can turn on the video camera and see what's going on. I already have video cameras in all my houses, that in my rooms, that I can turn on and watch. Not my bedroom. So you hackers, yeah, you might catch a naked picture of me going to the kitchen, but you're not going to catch that.
But yeah, that's and that, you know, it's interesting. If you want, again, a real world, this is happening right now example, you know, right now, go to your Facebook and I want you to type in, you know, your sister-in-law's name and then the words "in a bikini," and then prepare to be shocked and amazed that Facebook will deliver every picture of your sister-in-law that's ever been in a bikini that's on Facebook. And that's the reality. Like, that literally exists right now. You can do that today. Natural language search on top of, you know, extensive amounts of image recognition and machine vision that have enabled us to have that sort of thing, this sort of very creepy example, in today's world, in today's context. And I think we're...
It doesn't quite work that well on Scoble. I just, you know...
Yeah, that's I'll give you that one. Brian, any last words or thoughts here? Because I think it's about wrap time.
Yeah, no, it's been great, Robert. Where can people find you? You know, what's the name of your book one more time? Give us some final promotion here.
The Fourth Transformation, How AR and AI is going to Change Everything. I'm on Facebook all day long. That's the best place to find me, but I'm also on Twitter and LinkedIn and email and all that. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We had a great time. Lots of good stuff in this podcast. I'm really excited for our listeners to dig in. I personally was just having a blast. So with that, thanks for listening to Future Commerce. We want you to give us feedback about today's show, so please leave us some feedback on our website. If you're subscribed on iTunes, we'd love a 5-star review. You can subscribe to Future Commerce on, Apple Podcasts or Google Play, or listen right now from your Amazon Echo with the phrase, "Alexa, play Future Commerce podcast." With that, keep looking towards the future. Thank you so much.